No mumbling.
Two, three, four.
Bong.
Are we ready?
Call to order at 3:34. Roll call when you're ready, Mindy.
Chairperson Becker?
Here.
Vice Chair Riche?
Here.
Councilperson Gomez?
Here.
Councilperson Ortegon?
Here.
Councilperson Lateef?
Present.
And Councilperson Smith?
Here.
And Councilperson Robbins?
Here.
I don't have the current agenda, do I?
Yeah, she just gave it.
Okay. Need another one?
No, I think I got it. Okay.
Do we have anyone for public comment? Seeing none, close public comment. Who do we have as a guest?
Mr. Perez. He's on your agenda.
Oh, okay, Mr. Perez. Well, welcome, Mr. Perez. Okay, let's see. The next item, business matters, the approval of the minutes from the meeting of April 16th. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes?
Yes.
Yes.
Need a moment?
No, I reviewed them.
Any changes?
I make a motion to accept the minutes.
Is there a second?
A second. Yeah.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
No.
Motion passes unanimously. The next item. Discussion and participation.
Briefly interrupt. If I could suggest, maybe we'll take item number
three first. Sure. We have a presentation on Moores by Mr. Herman Perez. Welcome.
Can I get a copy of your agenda before I leave, too, please? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for inviting me. I don't mind coming out and telling you about Moores and what we do. For the most part, a well-kept secret. And it's been nice that way. But we've been getting busy, and I know we're probably in the focal light. The Moores program, which stands for Madera Opportunities for Resident Enrichment and Services, is a nonprofit organization. We were formed back in 2001 to do housing projects that don't normally fall in the standard public housing definition.
And we were thrilled to hear that you were in existence because it's such an unmet need.
It is. And as you know, unfortunately, there's not enough funding availability to service all the needs that we have, especially in the smaller community like Madera that has greater needs, I believe, in a lot of different scenarios, whether it be homeless, simply low-income housing, housing that's versatile from, you know, families of five to larger families and families that are less. Our veterans, which is one of my personal items, also as well, that we need housing for those folks. So I think our task as a whole for a city is growing, which is putting us as a community in a more active role, you know, I believe. We're a nonprofit public benefit corporation. Our service group can be a variety of groups. Again, it could be veterans, it could be the handicapped, disabled, it could be just simply for low-income housing. The difference between us and most public providers is how we provide a service. We've become very active in the last probably 5 to 6 years, more in purchasing, rehabbing, selling and moving on. Mm-hmm. So if we find, we don't want to just start growing public housing. What we want to do is combine more with the private sector. Put in Chowchilla, we just sold 2 apartment units. We took them over a couple of years ago. There were about 15, 16 units per each complex. And what we did was we went in, rehabbed it, made them nice, got new appliances in there, filled them with people, had a good base of income coming in, and sold them. Let the private sector now deal with that. And we take that money, reinvest it, and move on to another project.
So you recouped your cost with rental income?
Yes, we did.
What a great idea.
Our initial cost, and then on the sale of the property as well. And what that does, by making that investment, it might take a substandard housing unit, or you know, it could be 4 units, it could be 16, 20, whatever it may be, and brings them up to speed. Makes it a nice home for people to move into and live just like everybody else wants. And so we bring it up to that speed, and then when we sell it, we expect the landlord, you know, to maintain it. And as you know, as these new laws have come into effect, that's helping the public, you know, hold those landlords, you know, to maintaining those nice homes. And that not only includes the inside, but the outside, you know, landscaping, public, you know, play areas, appropriate fencing, parking, those types of issues as well. So that's become our real focus now. We find that if we can do that on a greater scale, again, buy, rehab, and then recoup our funds and reinvest in a different project, that instead of just growing housing projects, we're helping the community grow as well by doing that. That's probably the biggest difference in what we do today than what we did originally back in 2001 when we were first, you know, formed. Presently, there's a 7-member board that oversees it. We're independent, so we kind of guide ourselves. And on that board, we have, you know, some good people with financial knowledge, with real estate knowledge, investment knowledge. And that also helps us make better decisions in what we're doing. That's kind of a thumbnail sketch of what we do at this time. Maybe if I can just maybe get to some specific questions you may have, be glad to answer those for you.
Sure. Have you ever worked with Habitat for Humanity?
No, not directly.
And do you, when you sell a property, do you sell it to an investor or to an owner-occupied?
We've done both. You know, the last group was just an investor who was looking to buy a property.
What's your thoughts as far as owner-occupied versus investment? Do you have a preference?
I don't. I haven't really seen a big difference in the two.
Okay. And then I think our council is most interested in getting housing for seniors and the disabled, and they don't have to be assisted type living facilities. They just have to be safe and well lighted and, you know, the basics.
Right.
So do you have any specifics on how we could help you achieve that?
Excuse me. Basically, we partner with other groups that bring something to the table. So if someone has a project that they'd like us to look at and where we could take the lead on it, they may bring money to it, resources to it, and that's what we're looking for. So in probably looking at where we want to go in the future, we want to maintain that kind of role, you know, because we don't have our own funds, and we're trying to build on that initial loan that we got 20 years ago now, something like that, more. And we've been building and building in that to where, you know, the sale in Chowchilla was about $1.2 million. So it's not a lot of money when you talk about housing because it goes pretty quick. But it's a lot better than that $20 we had when we first started. And that's what we want to do, continue to build that fund. So how we get there, every project is a little different. We've partnered with Pacific, and I can't think of their whole title, on a apartment complex about 5-6 years ago, just down on Cleveland on the far end, put in some really nice apartments, partnered with them, you know, got some people in there, sold it off, and now we're off and running on another project.
Are you a tax entity or a tax, what is the, not the redevelopment, but?
You're a 501c3.
We're a 501c3.
Nonprofit.
Nonprofit.
But what's the redevelopment gosh, I can't think of the designation?
They're like a 501c4, or what, yeah. I think it's a different.
So term. Are you eligible for like CBDG money or state money?
Yep. We can work with local, state, and federal funds.
Okay.
That's one of our versatilities.
And then what's your annual operating budget? Depends on the year.
I haven't got a clue right now.
So is it in the $1 million range?
Oh, no, no.
Okay. That was just the one project.
We contract to the Housing Authority to administer our day-to-day paperwork. They take care of our finances and staff our agency.
Okay.
Were you there? You were there at the beginning of this group? What made you want to do it? Saw a need, or?
Back then, it was basically a need for me to want to get involved in it. Had some prior experience in that, not as an expert or a professional by any means, but just more saw a need that that was growing in our community, has continued to grow. So that was my personal, let's participate.
Gotcha.
Of course, I'm getting down at the end now. It's time for some young bucks to get in here and do some work too.
Have you ever applied for CBDG money?
Actually, the project that we have right now that's waiting to be funded, the Veterans and Housing Project, has some CDBG money in it.
Okay. All right. Is that an active avenue you can pursue, or?
It depends on the project and depends on what those funds are for. If it's for housing, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there seems to be the HUD has identified quite the need for housing. Well, I'd just like to put this on your radar.
Sure.
That we have a need in excess of what the Housing Authority can handle, and that if we can apply a different approach or an additional approach for seniors. I mean, how do you feel about seniors housing?
They're another group with needs. I mean, we could list them on and on and on, unfortunately, whether it be seniors or whether it be veterans, families, etc.
So you're basically dependent on funding.
We're going to go where the money's at. Yeah. You know, it's hard to chase a project if there's no end funding to. I mean, otherwise we're just wasting our time to do that. But if there's money down there, money comes up for senior housing, we'll chase it. Money comes up for veterans, we're going to chase it.
Is there any way that we can help you as a council? Is there anything that?
What I'd like to do is in the future is come in and let you know what projects maybe we're chasing. And if your support in the manner of letters and endorsements would be of great help.
Wendy, is there anything else we can do to facilitate any of this? Prioritizing housing. We're trying to put the pieces together to increase the housing stats for seniors and disabled.
Right. So relative to what's agendized today, which is the Moores Board, I believe Mr. Perez will be identifying opportunities where we can provide formal support through letters and whatnot. And so when we know about those, we can write them and make sure that they're there, and we can have it on your agenda.
For their funding. Can I ask you a question? The rents that you receive from apartments and stuff, that's coming from HUD? You putting in people?
From the owners themselves, from the renters themselves.
Are the renters under HUD? Mostly?
Some are through housing, and some aren't.
Okay. You know, there's about 3,000 people waiting on that list for housing in the city of Madera alone. I don't know about county, but you know.
Unfortunately, sadly, yes.
You're aware of that. Okay. Good.
There's a longer list than we can currently serve with what we have available.
Yeah.
Or even projecting down the road, the project that we're looking at. you know, sadly is just going to scratch the surface. But, you know, let's scratch a little here and scratch a little there, and maybe somewhere down the road we'll get a hold of this for us.
Are you a tax credit agency? So if someone was to invest with you, would they receive a tax credit?
If we partner with them on a project, they receive the credits.
Okay.
We don't, because it doesn't. We're a nonprofit,
right?
So we can't make a profit. So the tax credit really doesn't help us.
Right.
But if we partnered with Mr. Smith here and built a project under the tax credit situation, then he would get the credits.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to figure out how to pitch this to the investment side. Okay. All right. And so you are involved with the C Street project for the veterans?
Yes. Okay. We will be the lead agency on that.
Okay. Okay. That's quite a project.
Yes, it is. He was right about, you know, we're answering some questions right now, going through the process. There's a lot of people competing, obviously, for more funds than there are available. And if we get it, that's a great chunk, because it's going to improve part of our community, too. And those two lots that have been sitting there as long as I can remember. So we'll improve the streets, improve those lots, and hopefully improve the area, along with providing the housing. Mm-hmm. So it just brings so much to our community.
I think the tax credit may be an avenue to explore. Maybe you and I could have that conversation at a different time.
Sure.
There's got to be some way to get the community involved in this and have some reciprocation is what I'm thinking. So any other questions?
Yeah, what requirements do you guys set for yourself to pursue a property?
What requirements do we have?
Yeah.
Could you expand on that a little bit? I don't.
Yeah, so when you guys identify a property you guys want to take over, buy, what requirements do you guys set for yourselves in order to say, yeah, this is a go?
Well, what we'll do is do a pro forma on it and look at the property where it's located and what's the infrastructure to that property, what's it going to need. I mean, sometimes the investment from the street to the curb is prohibitive because parts of town, you know, lack good sewer, good water, et cetera. The infrastructure built in, just aside from then what's the building going to cost us, and then what kind of rents are going to be needed to provide that. So we look at building the whole pro forma and then make that decision.
Thank you. And then from there, do you guys, is there a process or do you guys make a decision on, you know, this housing, we can use it more for seniors in ADA, or this housing is for low income, or?
Sure. Sometimes the money that's available will determine that decision. I mean, just doing the pro forma is one side of it. But if there's funds available at that time for senior housing, then, you know, you put the senior housing tag on it. If it's for veterans, then we'll put the veterans tag on it. So that basically the money determines where we're gonna go and what we're gonna chase. I mean, we can't just do it and say, okay, we're gonna do senior housing. I wish it was that easy. But the money might not be available for senior housing at that time. So it's just hard to, you know, we got to chase what's right, reasonable out there, because it's a lot of investment of time and money, too, just to get us to the decision point.
The early 2002, 2003, I was working with the ADA group in Fresno, and we were approached by Habitat for Humanity. So we went to go look at a project there, and a friend of mine, it was a new, big, you know, nice house for a couple, and they had many generations of family living there. And my friend was in a wheelchair, and she couldn't get in the door because there was a big lip at the door. She couldn't get in, and then the hallways were too small, so she couldn't get around the thing. So Habitat, because of that and showing that the need for people to age in place is what's called, so that their house is accessible throughout the stages in their lives. And in that particular house, they had seniors and children and so forth. So, and it was their first house from coming from another country or something that they were, you know, hoping to, we would want them to age in place and be able to stay in that house as their life changes. So so they changed their blueprint on how to build houses to make them more accessible. All of their houses now, Habitat have are ADA compliant or, you know, have those certain things already built in. And also there's a, there's one of the big builders in Fresno that changed just their regular home, single family homes, making them accessible in certain areas for people to age in place or just have that already built in so people don't have to do the rehab and pay for that. That way their grandmother moves in or whatever, you know, they have the roll-in showers or they have the wider kitchen spaces, wider doorways, all that stuff's already built in.
Hallways and doors, yeah.
You know, because that's really important for a person to be able to stay in that house. Now, I know you have, if you're having apartments, those kind of come and go, people kind of go out of those, but any housing, houses that you do or something like that would, or anything would be really good if you look at those points of accessibility. And I know you're following the California laws.
Minimally.
which include all that. But if you go a step beyond, make that, you know, it's not a senior house, but let's make it every house a senior house or every house a disabled house, whatever, to a certain extent. That really helps you get different clients in there, you know, and be able for disabled seniors or anybody who really needs a little extra help. You know, someone even if you break your leg, you know how hard it is to get upstairs, right? Or you can get into your bathroom and all that stuff. It's just that little extra bars or even
or
having
it's wheelchair the incorporation
with.
Of universal design.
Universal
is what
design,
you're looking
for. Yeah. I mean, even having the plugs for the plug-in stuff, you know, not way down there so no one can get it, like kind of mid wall. That's those kind of things helps. The how do you open up the windows? I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff there. I don't know if you guys are interested in that kind of stuff or you have someone who specializes within that, within your business. That's what we're about. And that's what we like to see when there's new projects coming into town because, you know, not a lot of people have money in Madera. And once they get that home, if they can secure a home, you know, it's good to have them be able to age in place. Universal design where they, you know, they'll be secure and know that they don't have to, you know, move somewhere because they can't get up the stairs anymore. Or, you know, like at my house, I can't get in my shower, you know, so that's a whole nother thing there. But, you know, stuff like that is useful. And I hope that maybe you can, you know, incorporate that into your designs in the future.
Planning, at least in the planning and
it's a good suggestion.
Thought processes as much as possible. Okay.
This will be the only project that we're going to start that's from new. Unfortunately, most of the time we're rehabbing, so we're working with existing.
Well, even something as small as an inch on the width of a bathroom door can change somebody's life.
Well, I think of all the changes we made at my parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
At some
exactly.
point, we were
yeah.
kicking
right.
out walls, reversing doors,
makes
lever handles rather than turn handles.
Makes a big difference.
Yes, it does.
And I'd also like to acknowledge that Councilwoman Cece Foley Gallegos, or excuse me, Gallegos is here, and she has an interest in the housing authority. So, any comments, Cece? Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Comments? Well, thank you so much for.
Thank
coming
you, it's my
today.
Pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
And if we can ever work together,
I certainly hope we can
would,
possibly
invite your support on any of our projects. Any resources that you can bring to any of our projects are more than welcome.
Maybe if we can encourage some public-private investment. I know there are investors out there that might be interested in the tax credits, and if we could partner with some private investors and just move this forward and just get more affordable and senior housing, that would certainly be high on my agenda. So
absolutely,
let's exchange phone numbers and maybe get together and have coffee.
I think Wendy has everything I need, everything you would need though, so anytime.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank,
well, thank
you.
You
thank you, sir.
Thank
you.
You
too. So we want to go to number two, discussion on participation and booth ideas.
So Madera District Fair 2019, at this point what we're looking for is whether or not the ADA Advisory Council wants to staff a booth again, and whether or not, Cynthia's shaking her head, there's commitment to staff that booth.
She had fun last year.
And then we can get into the specifics going forward as we get closer to September. But as you know, meeting monthly, we probably needed our next meeting to have direction on what exactly you want in the booth, assuming we get a commitment to staff the booth.
Well, I'd like to see everybody commit to at least some appearance at the booth so you can get a feel for what's involved and represent and talk to the public, because it's a good experience. It can be a little tiring if it's you know, more than a couple hours at a time, but... Do we have any leanings or commitments here today?
When is the fair? I don't even know.
Yeah, that's my question.
It
September 7th through...
This I'm seeing 5 through 8, but that's Google, and I don't know if that's up to date. Where's the actual fair website? 5 through 8, 2019.
Okay.
It's a Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah. So... And then we were going to discuss booth ideas, but I think we had a pretty standardized program last year. If we could get some more coloring books and giveaways. Points of contact.
Depends. What you have to decide is, do you go back and do the same thing, or do you need to change a question? Because we've actually asked the same question 2 years in a row now. So you have the potential to have people not stop because they remember it from the last 2 years. So we don't have to finalize that part of it today, but that is something for consideration. Do we want to change it up?
Make a list. And the board, the idea board was great. That's really gets people to buy in, and the education value. The parents that stopped and instructed their children on that board was just amazing on what mattered, and they put stickers on things. It was just really helpful. So let's do more of that. Do we have the booth confirmed?
No, I'm making sure that you guys are all on board before we pay for a booth.
They are all on board.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
According to Cynthia.
Me, no. They are.
Okay. I'll commit.
Talk about moving it and partnering like with the city, if the city had another like booth set up, did we or not?
We talked about the idea in general, what we had talked about was the fact that we could share a booth, but they can't speak on your behalf because they don't know your business. If we want to make sure that we're doing ADA outreach, then we need ADA Advisory Council members staffing the booth.
Or we could be right next to them, a booth.
Right, but it can't be a situation where our booth is unstaffed.
Yeah.
Usually the fair will put us together, and I can ask Monica for that. But where we can leave ours unstaffed and they'll cover it because they don't know what we're doing.
It's a good idea because then we don't have an empty booth if nobody can staff. But the idea of everybody being able to do a couple hours, I think, should be doable.
Right. So with the booth, what is it entailing? What are you doing?
Just interacting with the public, sharing our bylaws, sharing the fact that we have a committee, and getting
input, asking if they have any
input from the public.
About ADA.
Right. If they have a complaint, we log that down.
And we got a lot of good feedback last year. We had 6 or 7 good comments and feedback.
Do they have needs?
Unmet needs and suggestions, and we gave away some flags and things like that. So I think it was, you know, I'd be for sharing a booth if we could cut the cost. That would save the city some money.
The booth itself isn't a lot of money. It's the time commitment of staffing the booth.
I want to
say
can,
it's like $350. That's
I can
it.
Do, you know, I did 2 4- or 5-hour segments last time, so I can commit to that, but I'd like some help. So Mr. Lateef was there with me a while. Manny, what's your schedule?
Yes. Yeah, I'm not. I'll be in town this year.
Okay.
So I'll be good.
Okay, so I think it's, do we want to take a vote?
I think so.
Everybody, Dennis, you put in a lot of hours last year.
I can only commit to Friday night this year.
Okay, that's a fun night. That's a beer night.
I don't drink, so.
We'll get some tequila.
Okay, so I'm in for 2 4-hour segments. I'll fill in around. I'll do some of the high traffic nights because I can do that.
I'm not sure. Because
okay, well you can come one time with me and learn the ropes and do that together.
Because it's in the afternoon, like Thursday and Friday, it's 5 to
need a Spanish speaker for
10,
Sunday.
Something like that. And then Saturday and Sunday, it's...
Well, the reason I say it, because I have disabled adults that I take care of in my home, so that might cut into some of the issues, you know.
Do you ever take them to the fair?
They're really not able to really do out there, so they're not able to do it.
Do we have any Spanish speakers?
I can't do Sunday. They've already booked me for Sunday.
Sunday's Spanish day, so we really have a need for translations. So I'll try to round up somebody that can maybe translate.
Anyone speak Spanish here?
No. I'm so bad.
Well, and it might solve it if I'll find out what other departments are participating, and then we can request at least at a minimum the booths be next to each other and
maybe
see about staffing with bilingual staff on Sunday.
Good idea, yeah. There's usually somebody around we can impose on.
I'm doing a couple of, I can come out and see a couple of hours.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's fun. It's fun. It's a little tiring because it's nonstop traffic, but okay. Then we can figure out the booth ideas.
If we could just get our booth next to them, that would
mm-hmm. Well, yeah. But next to, and then bilingual staff would be a bonus. So yeah.
There's usually the mosquito folks translated last year, and I mean we found somebody.
Mosquito folks.
I'm not shy. Okay.
Really.
And then I get a lot of animal shelter questions, which I try to move along. But okay, I'm eager to get to number 4 here. The update on the bus stop.
Yep. Okay, so number 4, Grants provided a written report. And
are we passing this out or is that a packet? Oh my goodness.
Everybody got one.
Paperclip packet.
Everybody got
one. My goodness, that's a fine packet. We want to read this?
So it looks like we don't need to read it into the record, but my understanding of it is that the Transit Advisory Board is reviewing the issue. They provided direction to the grant staff to contact Walmart again to look at the possibility of the easement for the stop on Cleveland, mm-hmm. or the proposed fire lane on the north side, which is, I believe, what you guys had asked about mm-hmm. last time. Mm-hmm. And so it looks like the next TAB meeting is July 17, and they're supposed to report back on their progress at that time. Now, at our last meeting, you guys had wanted to talk about writing a letter of support, basically, to get the stop at Walmart. So I think the outstanding issue today, and we have time because we would basically want to make sure to have it in front of TAB at their July meeting when they reconsider this, would be, what do you want that letter to say? And we can get it drafted up.
Okay. So did they have a position on whether the Cleveland bus stop was doable? Bus stop, okay. Yes.
Well, it's not that it's not doable. It's just it would require an easement. But we can, if we as the ADA Advisory Council say we think there needs to be a stop, and we think Cleveland is the best location for that due to path of travel issues, then we can put that in a letter.
That was my next
question.
I
like the idea of the Northern Walmart, that I would like to see them just Walmart okay it, I guess, and then make that happen. Is that what they're asking?
Walmart okay what? The fire lane?
Yeah, between that and Domino's right there.
Well, where the fire lane area that they're discussing is, you know how you go past the main doors and then it jogs to the right?
Uh-huh. The Knot. They're calling that the Knot.
Gotcha.
That is where they're talking about. So it's kind of that area where everybody kind of swings through.
Right.
Yeah.
Before you get to the back entrance.
Yes.
Because there's semi-truck traffic unloads that goes through that between Sal's and the garden center.
So the front door, how the building kind of mm-hmm. dog legs in a little bit, mm-hmm. then that, okay.
That's where Dial a Ride.
That's a perfect stop.
It is.
It is for the shorter buses. I'm not sure about the longer buses because it does create a little traffic congestion. What they had talked about was making a cutout on Cleveland. Like, that's why they would need the easement. They would actually cut into the sidewalk and create where the buses turn out so they're not in the traffic lane and create an actual stop on that grassy area.
Yeah, because they don't want the buses. It's not normal for transit buses to go into a parking lot like that. I mean, Dial-A-Rate can, but not the other the Maxis can't. Well, I'm on the tab, so give me a break here. So what happens too is if you put a stop right there, then they don't have a route that continues down Cleveland and goes up Schnorr.
Gotcha.
So they were thinking if you stop there, the buses are going to have to cross three lanes or whatever to get to the left to go to Walgreens and then go back around. So they'd have to extend that route out to go past Walmart, turn on Schnorr, and then go 16 or whatever they're going to go. So that's extending the route also if that was the case, which is doable because the Max buses, you know, they have a route that they have to follow. So that's just something to keep in mind.
I mean, we can write at this point a letter that's slightly more generic but supports placement of a stop at the shopping center that includes an accessible path of travel to Walmart.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, I was on Cleveland, and there were four ladies coming out of the Walmart Plaza, and they were walking down in traffic next to Citibank.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in traffic because there's no sidewalk access there. One of them was disabled or senior. And I was just absolutely horrified. And I pulled over and waited for them. And they went to jaywalk across Cleveland to get to the bus stop
mm-hmm.
on the opposite side. And I circled around and tried to talk to them. They spoke varying degrees of English. One of them was from Russia. You know, they were completely dependent on the bus system. And they were bewildered. You know, I mean, it was the perfect illustration of the unmet need that we have. And they were just doing their regular shopping, you know, so this was a routine thing that they did to try to make all that work. And it was just, and they were going to take the most direct path. So, I mean, I think we have it well illustrated that the need is there, so we need to figure out a way to move that need forward. So do we need to have a letter to TAB? I mean, I know we've got... have anything here, you know.
Well, the advisory council would need to either poll or take a vote to give direction that yes, we want to submit a letter to in support of
mm-hmm.
A stop within the shopping center or next to on Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Adjacent.
And then we can generate that for your signature and get it to the staff for the meeting.
Could we do that?
Yes.
Make a motion? What do we need to do?
Do it by motion, that's fine.
Okay, so I'd like to make a motion to draft a letter to the unmet needs folks and the TAB committee in support of a bus stop adjacent to Cleveland or in the shopping center at some point. And we can add more specifics. I mean, I think we've discussed these specifics at large in depth. So do I have a second?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All in favor?
Ew.
Aye.
Aye.
Mm-hmm.
Any opposed?
No.
Seeing none?
You made the motion? Okay.
Okay. Any opposed? Nope. Motion passes. So we can work on those same specifics. Hopefully that'll help. Any other thoughts, Wendy?
No, we'll just, I'll draft something up and email it to you to look at.
Okay. Just something that's barrier-free and a way to just get this on the record. Because I think this was also, I attended the unmet transit needs, and this was also very high on the public's wish list as well, the folks that attended that. And we see we've applied for a transit planning grant. All righty, Cece, you have a comment on the situation, the bus stop? All righty. So we're moving on to number five, oral reports. Any oral reports, staff members?
Nothing.
Mr. Lateef?
No.
Cynthia?
There's a TAB meeting in July.
Good, what date?
17th of July, 10:30 in conference room here.
I'll be there. So, any other council reports?
Not
suggestions,
there.
Complaints, observations? Dennis?
Nothing?
Okay. I'd like to say that we had an excellent enforcement effort courtesy of Madeira PD. It was about a month ago, and they covered every parking lot, and they were specifically checking for handicap placards. I've got papers for everybody in the truck. I've left them in the truck. They wrote a number of citations. They checked placards. They checked paperwork. And I'm happy to say that every time I've gone through the Walmart parking lot deliberately the last 3 weeks, there have been at least a third vacant parking spaces in the handicap section, which is just amazing. I have never seen anything like that in the last 10 years. So the word got out, and they actually blanketed the whole city for about 4 or 5 hours, all the traffic personnel that were available. And they've promised to do that at least once a month, to keep that public pressure and the persona or the enforcement pressure on. And then we were back over on, I think it was Wingstop over on Madeira Avenue, the same individual that removed those parking or the handicap placard signs. He now has all his markings on the base of the parking spaces have now faded off and are not in compliance. So I have been negligent. I will get photos of that, and I don't know what can we do about that, Wendy? Because it's private property. He's got the signs up now, but the blue.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's a code issue or if it's a planning issue, but I can ask.
Okay. Yeah. So that was very helpful, and we actually had one individual who he was disabled and his wife was disabled, and he came up during the enforcement and wanted to shake the officer's hand that was writing citations in front of Pack and Save, because he said how much of a problem and how much it impacted him. So I will get everybody a paper. I have a copy in the truck. Any other business? Any other comments? So I think it's really good progress. So can we send the chief a thank you note, Wendy, as a committee? For that enforcement, could we do that? Because that was really under his doing, him and Lieutenant Foss. All right. Any other business? Can't see that clock. Meeting adjourned at 4:15. Thanks everyone for coming. Let me run out and I'll get those newspapers.
CC, when's the next meeting, council, tomorrow night? Tonight?
No. 29th. Budget.
So what was that date again, July the what?
The next regular meeting.
17th at 10:30 in here?
In the room over there.
The conference room?
Conference room, yeah. 10:30. It's 10:30 to 12. It's a long meeting. But you don't have to stay that long.
I understand, okay. And what kind of meeting is this?
It's a meeting with the
Transportation Advisory Board.
Transportation Advisory Board. Okay.
Yeah, I'm on it. And
and I don't want
Linda, I don't know if you know Linda.
It's kind of one of those things they need to.
I don't remember her last
name. I want to rethink.
You know Linda.
I'm not sure, but it seemed like I know Linda, so maybe not.
She does a lot with Mr. Hawley.
No,
oh, okay. I think I do know who you're talking about then. Yeah, okay.
She'll be there, yeah.
Okay.
That'd be
they
great.
They went out Friday.
Yeah, okay.
So Saturday morning they show up and